Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll be with you tomorrow for our normal 4.5 hours from 2 to 6:30. As we've mentioned a few times today, 3 p.m. tomorrow, our Thanksgiving food draft. Much anticipated, always looked forward to, should be good. And then we're out of here tomorrow night to go spend Thanksgiving with the families. Hopefully everyone's got plans and a good couple of days scheduled. We'll break down all the football games tomorrow as well. Got a triple header again in the National Football League. Danny, we're brought to our listeners today by the law firm, Condorian Murat.
We love those guys. We want you to go see them. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Greg Bishop writes about the National Football League very well for Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on social at GregBishopSI. And he joins us now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Greg, it's Grant and Danny in the nation's capital. How are you?
Always appreciate you having me, guys.
Our pleasure, bud. Thank you for hopping aboard. There's a lot of things I wanted to cover with you, but why don't we start first with, I was just seeing that you were writing about Joe Burrow's return, and we've got a quarterback injury of our own here, but the turf toe ailment that he's overcoming here and coming back from, what was interesting to you? Why'd you dig in on that turf toe problem and just how much worse it is than people really think?
Well, the why I dug in part is, particularly because you see this story after every time someone suffers a turf toe injury, and it's essentially what is turf toe. It talks to a local doctor, and then it summarizes this injury that is. But I also see that these guys get so much online about they're not tough. You know, they couldn't have played in the 1960s, and all because of a little toe. And so I decided I'd explore that calculus in particular to see what it is and really try to tell people how it feels to have an injury at that part of your body. And what I found was interesting in light of, you know, Bart Scott's talking about he had to, you know, his toe still hurts. And when it's windy outside, he can't bend it. He can't touch the ground. And I just think that turf toe in general is the most misunderstood injury in the history of the world.
It sounds like such a little thing, and it's definitely not. Why is this one worse for Burrow than it seems like some of the others have been? Or is that just my imagination?
Well, no, I think that you need to kind of draw a delineation, right? There's probably six different kinds of turf toe injuries that happen regularly, but there's really a line that has to be like the line of demarcation, and that's whether they needed surgery or not. So the ones that heal in season, you know, guys have returned from that. They've come back and played at roughly the same level according to scientific studies and research papers. But the guys who have surgery generally take a long time to recover. I quoted Warren Moon in the piece as saying that, you know, the hardest part of it is every time you get up or take a step, you essentially send pain shooting through your body and it only gets worse. The only way to really heal this is to have surgery or rest. Burrow, to my knowledge, is actually the first guy that came back from an in-season turf toe surgery to play, or will be when he plays on Sunday.
Wow. It's pretty amazing that he's back In fact, he was talking with the media today. I'm going to play a clip coming up in a few minutes about just his mindset on returning, even though the season looks lost for the Bengals. Something that we're going through here with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders as he returns at 3-8, despite some fans wishing maybe they would just stash him until the offseason. Speaking of quarterback evals, though, and Greg Bishop of SI is with us, terrific writer. You wrote a piece on Bo Nix this week, and I really enjoyed it because, you know, I find, and I'm guilty of this, I'm not saying I'm not, anymore, every throw is evaluated. We all have all 22 tape. We're all experts at the quarterback position. We're grading this imperfect spot, chasing ghosts, as if the greatest of all time didn't miss throws constantly. But you looked at Bo Nix and what it says maybe about, like, the state of the union on evaluating quarterbacks. It was really interesting if you'd go into that a little bit.
For sure. Your take on that story is awesome to me. It warms my cold, cynical heart. You know, essentially, SI wants me writing every week this season after games. And I didn't set out to do this, but I found that a lot of things they want me to write about, where I end up landing with the story is in a world of nuance and complication. And, like, nothing is exactly as crazy or disastrous or whatever we want to ascribe to a certain game or a certain player as it seems. I told them recently they should call me the wet blanket because I'm basically throwing, you know, water on top of hot takes. And I think a lot of these things, especially with Bo Nix, like I was in L.A. last week with Matthew Stafford, and I actually brought up the premise of the story like during the interview that, you know, Bo Nix had not his best game on November 6th and he had an amazing game on November 16th. And if you read just the reaction to those 2 weeks, you would think he was one, the worst quarterback in NFL history, and then two, the guy who wins every game by a comeback. And I just, how much better could he possibly be in 10 days? I mean, so much of that is circumstantial. It goes to how are your teammates playing? Who's on the schedule? What's the defensive scheme? How do your coaches adjust? And I just think we've entered this era of evaluating NFL football where we look at it every week. I mean, the football public as, you know, a place where we can be determinative. I see NFL football as more of a continuum. Each week leads into the next. Things happen. They happen in relation to other things. There are so many factors that go into winning a football game or even having a successful play that none of it can really be determinative, even though we speak about the NFL as if it's easy to do that.
Greg, what did you learn when you were with the Rams? I'm old enough to remember. This is in August now when Matt Stafford moved around like I did after pickup basketball, like just gingerly. And I'm like, is he going to make it through the season? I'm worried about the Rams. Cut to November. They're the best team in the NFL. Whether they end that way or not, who knows? But what did you learn in your time there?
Well, it's funny that the question is framed perfectly because I'm old enough to have spine issues and back and neck issues. So not only did I put on Biofreeze before we did our 45-minute interview, I also spent a lot of time talking with Matthew Stafford about the vertebrae at the bottom of your neck. And I think what's important to note here is, one, I saw him in the locker room, and this is not a note I've never given in a radio appearance, but he looked ripped. And I was like a little bit surprised because we do have this image of him and the injuries and maybe, you know, some of the weight he carried early in his career. And the second thing is, you know, he's really on top of all of it. You know, some of these things just take time to heal. I can't give away all of the tenor of our conversation, but he really explained his body to me in 22, 23, and 24. And when I lined that up and we put this out, you'll be able to see that he really wasn't a full version of himself. So I think what you're seeing now is that recovery coming to full fruition. It's more than one injury in play here. And then they've really assembled, I think, the best team they've had since they won the Super Bowl. I mean, you look at Devontae Adams' impact, a defensive line, all homegrown picks. When you throw into Adams, Nacua, Higbee, and then you have a two-headed running back monster, I mean, for me, it was easy to see they were the best team in the NFL about a month ago. And I think the rest of the world's catching up.
Yeah, they're 9-2, and they had the big showdown with the Seahawks. And even though Seattle, in some ways, may have outplayed them a little bit statistically, it was the Rams who won the football game, which is what matters. By the way, Stafford, 30 touchdowns, 2 picks, league leader in touchdown percentage, and in a couple of other categories as well, including quarterback rating. Drake May is nipping at his heels in the MVP conversation. I was saying this last week, it kind of feels like this would be the cool culmination for Stafford in year 17 here. He's got the ring. He's been a comeback player of the year. He's made his Pro Bowls. He's done it all. So to win an MVP award would feel like a full circle moment in a sense. How big of the gap right now do you think he has over May, and how tight is that race?
I'd say it's fairly tight, but I agree with the premise of your question in that I think, you know, if this is close, I think it should go to Matthew Stafford. Are you guys aware he's made two Pro Bowls his entire career?
I just saw that.
Seems crazy.
Looking that up. That's insane.
That is nuts to me. And, you know, frankly, some of the better stuff here will be in the story. But it was nuts to him. You know, this is a guy who threw for 5,000 yards in 2011. He was the fourth quarterback to ever do that in a single season. And he finished fourth as an alternate in NFC Pro Bowl voting. I mean, what? You want to talk about reaction? You know, like, I mean, I just don't understand any of this. When you look at the greatest single seasons by wide receivers in NFL history, Stafford has seven of the top 188. Like, of any NFL game ever played, a receiver where he was the quarterback is on that list, including the top two, Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp, although we'll see what JSN does the rest of the year in Seattle. Either way, for me, if it's possible for a guy that looks like straight out of quarterback mold, you know, like if God created a guy to play quarterback, he'd have that kind of arm, that kind of swagger, the way that Matthew has always played and still be underrated. Like, to me, he's the perfect example of that.
Greg Bishop with us here on Grant and Danny. Do we know how to tackle, or do we have to learn anew?
Well, the Collision King taught me how to tackle, so if you guys want me to fly out, I'll give an office demonstration.
Who is the Collision King? Tell people about the story you did.
The Collision King is Richie Gray. He is, as he would say, a good lad. He's from Scotland. He's from the south of Scotland. Most notable from that's where William Wallace planned and executed his raids into England. The south is known as the lawless land. It's all tough people. Richie's got a few dozen scars on his face, neck, ears, part of an ear is missing. And for a long time, he played rugby or coached rugby until he became a developmental officer in the rugby world, essentially a performance coach like you're seeing all over. And that led him into the NFL, of all places, where I call him the Kaiser Soze of collisions. He consults with 23 NFL teams at present. His tackling is more like the rugby-style tackling. It's safer, and it involves a lot more contact than they're allowed to have in terms of getting your body ready for a season. You know, this guy worked with Christian Wilkins. The same year they start working together, Wilkins sets the all-time record for tackles by a defensive tackle in one season. Tush Push is elevated because of Richie Gray, although he doesn't like that word. He'd prefer organized mass. And I just think his impact was really unseen. But when I wrote about the Tush Push a couple of years ago, him and I kind of became friends. And now one of my life goals is to get a Collision King docuseries off the ground. Let's go.
That would be cool. This is a good start for it. It's a fascinating story. But you mentioned 23 teams consult with him. What does that mean? Like, is he coming to facilities and actually doing instruction like you would at a youth camp or something? Or how does that kind of materialize?
Yeah, well, Richie has his own performance, you know, equipment. And part of his deal with every team is they need to use it. So if you see GSI in the background of a TV shot, that's equipment he designed to be like, say, a tackle sled, but also different and better in his version. And so, yeah, he'll fly to see the Giants in June. He'll spend a week there with the coaches and the players. This started in Miami in 2016, I believe, and continued to spread as all the coaches from Adam Gase's staff got fired. And people are a believer in this, that if you work on the right technique, like one of the things he said that kind of blew my mind, we watch these hits from training camp and we see offensive linemen just like grinding through hand drills and shuffling their feet. Like that's the standard August B-roll, right? And yet what these guys don't practice at all anymore is tackling, even though 99 out of 100 plays end in what? A tackle. And I just think what he's trying to do is bring that specialty back to where it is looked at as something that needs to be sharpened. If guys are, you know, more ready heading into a season and more technically accurate, you know, then his theory is you'll reduce injuries. And, you know, the NFL agrees with him. They've had him out to speak at the owners' meetings twice, and they continue to pick his brain even now.
Greg Bishop, SI, on Grant and Danny. And we were talking earlier about the amount of content and, frankly, just, you know, the amount of analyzing of the quarterback position. Well, how about, and what do you make of Shedeur Sanders and the coverage of him? I mean, there's never been a round five pick before he's played in the league that's had more pixels about him than Shedeur Sanders. And then this week, we did the story earlier in the show where Kevin Stefanski, after the game, congratulates him on his first win but doesn't give him a game ball. And that became a big story, that he didn't give him a game ball. Like, everything is a thing about Shedeur Sanders. What do you make of this?
You know, it reminds me when I was still at the New York Times covering the Jets, and Rex Ryan had that foot fetish scandal. You guys remember that?
Of course.
We do, yeah.
I still have a New York Post hanging up in my office that shows all of us interviewing him, and it says Agony of Defeat. Pretty cool, actually. But at the time, I'm sitting by, like, the New York Post gossip columnist, and I'm thinking, like, what are we doing with our lives? Like, everybody in this room, like, this has nothing to do with football. If the man likes feet, let him. I mean, what are we talking about here? And a lot of the Sanders discourse has felt that way for me. It's like people want him to fail. It's like they want him to, you know, be put in his place. Like, seems like a good kid from every interview I've seen. And he played, you know, there's been some really solid play in the chances he's got this season. So I'd put that in the same bucket that we were talking about earlier of, we are in a world where everything is terrible or amazing and epic, when in reality, every part of that world is neither of those things almost every day.
My last one for you, just your unique perspective going around the league and being able to talk to teams and kind of the right way you do. What's been the most surprising thing about this NFL season to you?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think it's just the number of teams we thought were certainly going to contend for a Super Bowl that have looked shaky. Now, where you guys are, obviously, the injuries factor into that. But, I mean, look at Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City. I mean, to me, it just shows – here, I'm going to wrap a bow in this for you guys here, the whole thing. To me, it just shows you how much people who cover and evaluate and assess professional football know about professional football. And I just think there's so much that goes into winning any game – and sometimes we don't see a team like the Rams. Like, you look at them now, incredibly well built, you know, maybe should have been the favorite at the outset of the season. Young players, controllable players. As long as Matthew plays like that, should be good for a while. And I just think sometimes we need to step back and look at these things a little more rather than just determining that they're going to be okay, you know?
It's well said. Greg, as always, very thoughtful. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you, and keep up the great work on the road.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
you, buddy.
Check out Greg's work in SI. Greg Bishop with us here on Grant and Danny. I wanted to get into the Joe Burrow comment that he had made to the media today, because I think it relates to Jaden Daniels and the fact that, you know, Daniels is coming back to play and so is Burrow. I know it's not the exact same thing, but you could make the case Burrow has less reason to come back and play.
Yeah, less in line for him.
Because he is not developing, and there isn't really anything to be learned as an old dog learning new tricks. But this was Burrow today. I think very relatable content to what we're dealing with here in D.C.
You understand?
I understand why people feel that way, but if you look at it from my perspective, I'm a football player, and if I get hurt, I'm going to go through the rehab process, and then I'm going to let everybody know when I feel like I can go out there and play. I don't really know what else to say about that. I'm not going to ever go to somebody and say, yeah, I'm healthy, but, you know, I don't think I should go out there and play. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm not going to live my life and play this game scared of something happening. Like, yeah, something's going to happen. It's football. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get concussions. You're going to break bones, tear ligaments. It's a physical, intense game. That's part of this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And yeah, I've had injuries. There's not a lot I can do about that. I work really hard to have that not happen, but what I can do is when it does happen, I can control how I'm attacking my rehab and attacking practice and doing everything in my power to get back as quickly as possible. That's what I did.
I just thought with what we're seeing with Jaden Daniels here in town, that's pretty relatable content.
Certainly relevant. I mean, the only thing I would add, though, is I appreciate that for my athletes. That's what I want. I want Steven Strasburg to not want to be shut down. I want Max Scherzer to not want to come out of the game or Daniels to want to play or whatever. And Burrow has that, and that's part of the reason he's a superstar that got to the NFL. To me, that decision needs to be above him. And I would, by the way, agree with the decision that yes, it's there's value in playing. If it's 1 week, it's 2 weeks, and you know, in a 3-14 season, maybe less so, but especially in Daniels' seat. But you know, I mean, you see it from Burrow, where he's trying to lead, and this is how he's going to be able to do it. So any coach would say, yeah, that makes sense. My superstar quarterback, where people bought tickets to see this dude play, yeah, he should probably play some. I reserve the right to get him out of the game if he's getting blasted and we're down by 27 with a minute to go or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, the adult still needs to make the decision, the guy that's coaching and in charge, but that's the sentiment that I would always want to hear and would expect to hear, frankly, from a guy that's an MVP candidate.
For sure, and I think your point makes more sense, too, if we're talking about, like, an injury, whereas he's prefaced it by saying, if I'm healthy. Like, right. Now, he's back, he's practicing mm-hmm. on the field, and there are people in Cincinnati going, well, he shouldn't play because you're risking him getting hurt again. And he's saying, first of all, you can't think that way. You can't go into a game saying, I'm going to try not to get hurt or, you know, I might get hurt. It's just too violent a game. There's too many guys getting too severely hurt all the time, breaking bones, tearing ligaments, as he pointed out. But that is the start of the conversation to me is what he said, which is, if I'm healthy, ... That's what we keep talking right. about with Jaden Daniels. Assuming he's healthy and he's getting there right now, he's on the practice field, then there's not much of a conversation to be had. And when you're talking about protecting guys from themselves or whatever, I agree with you. I think that's true. But that's, again, when they're hurt. You're not, right. you're not protecting someone from themselves when they're healthy. That's not how that works, right? So, yeah, I don't remember a time, and maybe we just haven't been in this situation here, where I've seen so much made about healthy players playing their sport. It's less a Burrow thing, but I think that's just because I'm not in Cincinnati. But there's been a lot of that.
No, that's a good point. From a macro perspective, I think you're right.
And maybe it's just that these guys make so much money now that you're protecting an investment. You know, Jaden Daniels is going to be worth a couple $100 million to the organization, or Burrow already is. Maybe that's part of it. But not to go full Herm Edwards on you, but the guy's healthy. He's a football player. There's only 17 of these. Then you just go a bunch of months where there's none to play in. When you're healthy, why wouldn't you play? I just don't remember it ever being like this. Where I think here, the Robert Griffin effect just drapes over everything, and it colors everything we talk about.
I think that's part of it. I also think watching it in basketball especially, but in baseball and you know other sports. I mean, hockey's still a little bit more, you know, tough guy. Guy loses a tooth and he you know doesn't miss a shift. But for the most part, you're seeing, hey, maybe it actually might be smart to give a guy a day off if we've got bigger fish to fry. Hey, it might not be the craziest thing with the travel schedules and the back-to-back and all the mileage on these guys' knees and joints and the running and the physicality.
I mean, those are 82 games, 72-game seasons, three times in a week. You get one shot every week to play in the NFL. So maybe that is part of the philosophical paradigm shift that people are experiencing, but it's just not analogous sport to sport.
No, it's not the same as the long grind, but in terms of wear and tear on your body, that's pretty similar. So I don't think it'll ever get to the way the NBA is, just because, again, it's such a tough culture. But I think there's going to be a time where someone goes, this is probably pretty pointless to play a superstar player that we have so much on the line for him for long term when we're out of it, when we're 3-13 in the 17th game of the year. Maybe it won't make sense to play him. I don't know that we're not there now.
I hope not.
But I could see that being something on the horizon.
I hope not. Because there's no carryover year to year. Really. I mean, the whole point would
good
just
be...
Good
or bad. I agree.
Exactly. To guarantee that the player was fully healthy the following season, I suppose. And then they could get hurt in training camp just as easily.
Totally.
Dozens of practices, preseason, whatever it is. So, yeah, that to me would just be... It's not a strength for the other sports that do that, in my opinion. It's a drawback. And
I think that's fair.
Hope the NFL doesn't go in that direction. All of our football conversation on The Fan today is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We will have a draft for you at 3 p.m. tomorrow on the Greg and Dave program. It's the Thanksgiving food draft. You won't want to miss it. 4 o'clock, we're giving away a Paisano's gift card. One last show for the week on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock. We will talk with you then. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you for coming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.